Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Good morning, and this afternoon, we're going to answer a question. What does it mean to follow Jesus? This past Friday, I went over to Traverse City to visit with Brenda Paycheck, who is there recovering from open heart surgery. And Mike had spent so much time in the room, he said, when you get here, he said, call me. He said, I'll be down in the lobby. He said, I just need to get out of the room for a while. He had been there at that time for 8 days. And I said, great, I'll meet you in the lobby. Met him in the lobby, and I said, Mike, I haven't eaten yet. It was lunchtime. And he said that he had. That got me out of buying lunch for him. So I was glad to hear that. No, I intended. I went with the intention. I said, I get there about lunchtime, I'll buy him. But he had already, like a good man, he had already eaten lunch before noon. But I hadn't. So he said, good. He said, we'll go to the cafeteria. So we went to the cafeteria. We ate. And then it's time. He said, you ready to go to the room? I said, absolutely. Let's go. And so I didn't know the way. So he leads and I follow. And we take, and I thought it kind of odd because we took an elevator up, I think one floor. And normally you get off the elevator and you proceed to the room. But we got off the elevator and we turned to our right and he opened some double doors and there's a stairway. And I thought, well, I've never seen that before. And we go up this stairway to like this deserted hallway. And we turn down there and we go and make a couple other turns. And then finally we're at her room where we had a good visit with Brenda. And come time to leave, I'm thinking, I'm not going to find my way out. Have any of you ever been lost in a hospital? Try U of M. You really want to get lost, go down to U of M. I mean, I've tried leaving breadcrumbs in the hallway, you know, to find my way. They frown on that. They don't appreciate that. But come time to leave, I said, Mike, I said, I'm not so sure where I am or how you got me here. I said, can you lead me out of here? And he was, of course, he said, I'd be happy to. And so I followed him. Had I not followed him, I could have gotten myself in trouble. I want to talk to you today about the importance of following Jesus. And I want to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus. And I will also insert some of the challenges that you face if you choose as a believer not to follow him. As I said a while ago, following Jesus can mean different things to different people. And based on my 40 years of experience in ministry, oftentimes people have a negative connotation of following Jesus. Some people think, well, if I choose to follow, how did you know about that? Yeah, I was sitting up here thinking, where's my water? Where's my water? Can't preach without water. Oh, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anything else you got for me? I mean, well, thank you. That's amazing. Because I was thinking, I don't know where my water is, and I don't want to go looking for it. So will that shorten the sermon? No. Now, that'll lengthen the sermon. Now they're mad at you because I got water. I can keep going. But anyway, following Jesus will probably mean different things to different people. But it's my observation that a lot of people have negative connotations when it comes to following Jesus. Therefore, they want to be saved. We'll talk about that in a second. But following Jesus, now, we don't know about that. For some people, they think following Jesus is a vow to poverty. I'm not going to follow him because, you're going to be destined to be poor. Some people think that it means to follow Jesus, it means that you're going to be a missionary living in a grass hut and you got to eat bugs. So some people say, you know, I want to be saved, but I don't know that I want to be that dedicated. Some people have the notion that if you follow Jesus, you will live with a frown on your face and you will never laugh or have fun again the rest of your life. That's what some people think, especially unsaved people and sadly some Christians. And then others just have the misconception that if I follow Jesus, I'm going to be missing out on life. So this theme this year, follow me, that could be quite challenging and even offsetting to some people who say, well, I'm all for Jesus, but this following thing, I don't know what it's all about. Well, I don't want you to have an inaccurate picture this morning. I want you to have an accurate picture. I want you to have a biblical, proper, accurate understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. To be sure, it's one thing to be a Christian, and I talked about this a few weeks ago. People don't have near as much trouble being a Christian as they do when they are challenged like you are this morning to follow Jesus. People don't really have a problem being a Christian, being saved, being born again, because that's just kind of a static state that offers no, or doesn't challenge you. Oh, okay, I can be a Christian and still live the way I want. But following Jesus, that implies something else, and that's why so many people struggle with it. Following Jesus is something dynamic. It means something is required of you. It's actually, if you think about it, in some respects, harder to follow than it is to believe. And that's why Christians struggle in this area. So I want to look at a passage of Scripture that will illustrate very simply and very clearly what it means, so that when we leave this afternoon, we will all in this room have an accurate, biblical, scriptural understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. And then you're going to ask yourself, am I? Am I just being a Christian? Am I just being saved? Or am I following? You see what this verse says? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Well, people in this culture don't want to do that. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There may be folks here right now thinking, I'm uncomfortable with this. I got my faith, and I've been living my faith my way for years, but you might be living it wrong. So I want, when we finish this message, or these two messages, really it's one and two parts, when we finish this, I want you to ask yourself if you're capable of being objective. I want you to ask yourself, am I following Jesus? How do we know what it means to follow Jesus? Well, there's lots of places in the Bible we could turn to, and there's lots of things we could study that would illuminate this topic for us. But there is a simple passage in Mark and a simple story that illustrates profoundly, yet simply, what it means to follow Jesus. In Mark chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them, talking about Jesus. Now here it is. And as he passed by, he saw Levi. Now Levi is going to be Matthew, the disciple. He's going to change his name, but at this stage, Jesus saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector, and said unto him, follow me. Follow me. Our theme this year, follow me. He said to Levi, he said, follow me. Don't just sit there. Don't just believe. That's critical. That's important. That is essential. But he says to him, follow me. That's all sorts of implications there, is it not? He's sitting there. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But look at what it says. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans, tax collectors, and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. This is the story of Levi, whose name would be changed later to Matthew. Levi was held in very low regards by his fellow citizens, for he was a tax collector. A tax collector for the Roman Empire. who was occupying Israel at that time. And the Jews, as with any people, hated the idea of the Romans moving in on them, conquering them, and then levying exorbitant taxes on them to fuel their own coffers. And when one of their own would be employed by Rome to collect taxes, and often exorbitantly, the fellow citizens hated that person. Such was Levi. He was employed by the Roman government. I read that oftentimes the tax collectors would sit outside the city, the walled city, and the market was in the city. And they would sit outside the gate, and some person would come along pulling a cart, or maybe a donkey pulling a cart, and maybe would have vegetables from the garden, and they're bringing in there to sell to try to make a little money to pay the bills back home. But he's got to go past the tax collector first. Tax collector comes out there, "What you got there?" You know, and the ordinary peasant's just bristling because he knows he's got to pay the Romans their fee, and probably the tax collector is going to take more than he should and put it in his own pocket and never report it to the Roman authorities. That was their reputation. Levi was that man. Levi's that man that's rummaging. He said, "I see melons here. I see, you know, tomatoes, and here's figs, and here's olives. You got anything else in there? The olives are going to charge you this much, and for those tomatoes, we're going to charge you that much. And over here, let me make sure you're not sneaking anything in on me." They were hated. But that's what Levi was doing. He was callous. He didn't care. That was his way of padding his pocket. He was looked down upon by everybody. But that's the very man that Jesus, who is righteousness incarnate, who is holy, who is honest, who is filled with integrity, who is the embodiment of all things good, comes to that man, Levi, and he says, "Follow me." And what does Levi do? Levi, no doubt, looks around and says, "Follow him. The man wants me to follow him." I've read several commentators that said probably Levi had heard of this Jesus, knew something of this Jesus, so he had an indication of what might be up, which would be totally foreign to him and everything he stood for, and even contrary to his character. But Levi obviously said, "Here, you take over. Where are you going?" "I'm following Jesus." When you look at this passage, you'll see that following Jesus means three things. To follow Jesus, as indicated by Levi, means that you're going to do three things. It's going to be obedience. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to be obedient to his word. Secondly, you're going to have to be generous. And thirdly, you're going to have to be committed. I told the men at our prayer breakfast yesterday morning, I said, "Think about that for a second. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and preach that people ought to be obedient. People ought to be generous. And people ought to be committed." Now, we have people in this auditorium right now who are all three of those things and more. But truth of the matter is, in this culture, is obedience a popular trait? No, the average person wants to live life on their terms, their way. I want to do what I want to do, go where I want to go, dress like I want to dress, listen to the music I want to listen to. Can't do that if you are a follower of Jesus. And I told him, "See the challenge I got tomorrow?" Because in this American culture, it's not obedience that is lifted up as a virtue. It's independence. How about generosity? People aren't generous. You know who the least, I got to put this in, you know who the least generous people are in America today, and it's a proven fact? liberals. They want to be generous with my money, but they don't want to be generous. It's a documented fact that movie stars and all those people are the least generous people. It's a documented fact. So I'm getting up and saying people ought to be generous. Is that popular in our culture today? It's mine. I earned it. I'll do with it as I please. Nobody's going to tell me what to do with my money. And I'm getting up here this morning saying, hey, if you're following Jesus, guess what? You're obedient, you're generous, and you're committed. You've got to be committed. Is commitment popular today? How many times do we talk to people and say, hey, we got a need here and we could use some help? Well, I'll try to do it, but I've heard this, but I don't want to commit. We hear that all the time. I don't want to commit. Levi is going to demonstrate that if you are going to follow Jesus, you are going to be obedient, you're going to be generous, and you're going to be committed. Our culture promotes just the opposite. Instead of obedience, our culture promotes self-will. Instead of generosity, our culture promotes greed. In fact, there's a saying going around saying greed is good. And instead of commitment, our culture promotes autonomy. So let's look at obedience. It can be a struggle for Christians. I like this quote. It says, we Christians too often substitute prayer for playing the game. By playing the game, it doesn't mean being phony. It's talking about getting involved. We Christians too often substitute prayer for playing the game. Prayer is good, but when used as a substitute for obedience, it is nothing but a blatant hypocrisy, a despicable Phariseeism. I want to demonstrate this morning from Scripture, from the Bible, how following Jesus is the most fulfilling, joyful, rewarding way to live your life. Don't let this culture influence you away from obedience, generosity, and commitment. We'll look at just point number one. We'll get two and three. We'll look at obedience this morning. We'll look at generosity and commitment this afternoon. There'll be shorter versions of what we're going to look at right now, but I think I can do this quickly. You follow Jesus by being obedient to him, to his word. When Jesus said to Levi, follow me, Levi, guess what? He arose and he followed him. Matthew demonstrated a loving obedience when he left his job to follow Jesus. Think about it, folks. That was a big deal. He's leaving his career. He's leaving his source of income. He's leaving his familiar surroundings. And without any apparent hesitation, he left it all in obedience to Jesus' word. To follow Jesus, you've got to be obedient to his word. Number one, Jesus taught that. Jesus taught obedience. If you were to have sat on his feet beside a dusty road there in Israel somewhere, you might have heard him say this, if you love me, keep my commandments. He taught obedience. And if you and I are going to be followers of Jesus, we have to embrace what he taught. And the next question should be, okay, what do you want me to do, Lord? It's not on my terms. It's not my will, but thy will. And secondly, he modeled obedience. He not only taught it, but he modeled what we saw Levi do. John 15:10. He says, and this is Jesus speaking, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So when we see Levi demonstrating to us what it means to follow Jesus by being obedient, we realize that Jesus taught that. And we realize also that Jesus modeled that. Which leads us to this question. Why would I choose obedience when everybody around me and everything within our culture encourages me to be independent, self-willed, autonomous? I mean, if I choose obedience, if I choose to look to the Bible as to how to dress, which it tells you, if I look to the Bible for it to tell me who my friends ought to be, and it tells you, if you look to the Bible for how to handle your money, and it tells you, why would I want to do that? Fair question. To choose obedience, doesn't that limit our options in life and put real restrictions on our happiness? That's what some people think. Doesn't obedience to the Lord limit our options in life? Doesn't it restrict our happiness? No. In fact, just the opposite. Obedience means you will abide in His love. Obedience means then you will have the fullness of joy. What does the Bible say, folks? Let's turn to John 15:10. Here's what Jesus said. He says, if ye keep my commandments, in other words, that's talking about obedience. What does he say? If you keep my commandments, if you make a conscious decision that it's not going to be my will but thy will, it says, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have demonstrated by keeping my Father's commandments and abide in His love. That's number one. If you keep His commandments, you're going to abide in His love. These things, he goes on to say, have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. These two verses are clearly talking about obedience. If you keep my commandments. And he says in those verses, if you keep my commandments, two things are going to happen. Two things that will only happen if you keep His commandments, if you are dedicated to obedience. Number one, you will abide in His love. And number two, you will find divine joy. So, another question then. What does that mean? If we keep His commandments, we shall abide in His love. Well, understand this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Because He loves us, He gives us those commandments. You understand that? He gives us the commandments of how to dress, who to hang around with, how to handle our money, how to be a good wife, how to be a good husband, what is a real family, what is sin, what is not sin. He gives us those commandments because He loves us. For example, because He loves us, He says, don't abuse your body with alcohol, drugs, or tobacco. Because He loves us, don't have sex outside of marriage. Because He loves us, don't establish friendships and close relationships with ungodly people. And when we obey, when we are obedient, we reap the benefits then of abiding in that love. The love that gives us the commandments. And when we are obedient, we are abiding in His love. We are choosing to be obedient. We are choosing to abide in His love. And then when we follow those commandments, we have safety. We have better health. We have better prosperity. Let's make it simple. Because, let's go back to when my children were young and at home. Because I love my children, I gave them commandments. Oh yeah, I gave them commandments. Don't play in the street. Don't play with fire. Get down from off that dresser. How did you get up there? Do not climb on the furniture. And when they listened and obeyed, they were abiding in my love. And when they obeyed, they were abiding in my love, and they reaped the benefits of abiding in my love. They had the benefits of greater safety because they listened to Dad and they obeyed. They had greater protection. They had better health. They would have been in far greater danger of getting hurt, playing with fire, playing in the street, climbing up on the dresser. They would have been in far greater danger if they had been disobedient. If they had thought that abiding in my love was repressive or stifling. You and I are in greater danger not following the Lord and being disobedient. When you follow Jesus, you have to be obedient. For Levi to be obedient, he had to get up and do something different. He had to accept a lifestyle that was new and different to him. But what he was doing was abiding in Jesus' love. So one of the benefits of accepting his commandments is not repressive, but is loving, is then to abide in his love. But the second thing and the last thing, it says, if we keep his commandments, your joy will be full. A lot of people think, well, if I become a serious Christian, if I become a committed Christian, you know, and I have to obey his commandments, that's going to be burdensome, that's going to be joyless, that's going to be unfulfilling, and nothing could be further from the truth. Listen, in obeying his commandments, now listen to this, let me just read it to you. Your joy will be full because your obedience means you are participating in the greatest cause ever known to man. It means through your obedience, you are all in. And you have the privilege of being a part of something bigger than you, something exciting, something worth dedicating your life to. Your joy will be full because your obedience means you have avoided the drama that comes into your life when you are disobedient. When you play in the street, you're going to get hurt. When you start playing around with the drugs, the alcohol, and the tobacco, nothing there is good for you. So your joy will be full because your obedience means you've avoided the drama that comes through disobedience. And number three, your joy will be full because your obedience means you're in a close fellowship with him. Obedience means you're in a close relationship with him. Being in a close relationship with God, the creator of the universe, he who can just speak the worlds into being, he who created you, to be in a close, wholesome, healthy relationship with him, I think that's better than the guys you're hanging around with at the bar, to be in a close relationship with God. When you're obedient, you experience the joy of God. My children experienced joy when they obeyed me. They would often receive my praise. They did good. They obeyed. They did what dad or mom told them to do. They would receive my encouragement. Oftentimes, they would receive my blessings. Hey, you did a good job, guys. Hey, you want some ice cream? Let's go get some ice cream. The obedience was an occasion for joy in their lives. A lack of obedience would have been the occasion for apprehension, anxiety. It surely wouldn't have been joy. You have far greater anxiety when you're disobedient to the Lord. When you follow Jesus, you're obedient to him. You are obedient to his word. You want to know this book. And you want to make sure you know everything you should do and everything you shouldn't do. That means two things. You will abide in his love. You will rest in the safety and the comfort and the joy of his love. You follow Jesus when you're obedient to his word. When you're obedient to his word, you abide in his love. And your joy will be full. I like this final quote. Obedience is the only reality. It is faith visible, faith acting, and faith manifest. It is the test of real discipleship among the Lord's people. I'm preaching in a culture that resists obedience, that resists generosity, that resists commitment. And all of that is a lie of the devil. All of that is to pull you away from true joy, true peace, true fulfillment. It doesn't get any better than abiding in his love. It doesn't get any better that your joy is full. And what is it based on? What is the topic of those verses we're looking at this morning? If you keep my commandments. And folks, as they say out in the world, ignorance of the law is no excuse. That's why I want you here for Sunday school. That's why I want you here this afternoon. That's why I want you here on Wednesday nights. Not for my ego or for my pride, but you can't obey what you don't know. And your time spent in the house of the Lord is the best. So some folks think following the Lord, that's going to be heavy. That's going to be repressive. I'm going to have to never smile again. I can't ever have any fun again. And nothing could be further from the truth. When you are obedient, when you do as Jesus said, follow his commandments, you will then have the wonderful privilege of abiding in his love. And nobody loves or gives better than him. And in that same passage, it says, your joy will be full. Are you following Jesus? Well, he has a lot to say about money. Do you know what he says about money? I don't know what he says about money, but then how can you possibly be obedient? You might get, sort of say, you might get lucky in some areas, but that's not the right phraseology for a preacher to use. You know, or do you dress right? Are you conscious? He's got a lot to say about dress. Are you obedient? Yeah. Your private life, if you will. You know, are you doing what God wants you to do? If not, you're not missing out on something heavy and difficult. You're missing out on abiding in his love and that your joy being full. There is no greater blessing or reward in this life than being obedient to God, being involved in his ministry, his calling. There's no more exciting reason to wake up every day than to live for the Lord, to be fully dedicated to obeying him. It doesn't get any better than that.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.